Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. Today we are covering a topical sermon on digital world. You know, there are many benefits in the digital world that we are living in. Benefits such as connectivity with people, accessibility to information, or maybe environmental sustainability because there are lesser carbon footprints due to more of us working from home or lesser usage of paper. That is one great benefit that comes from the digital world, and that is online shopping. Just a few weeks ago, my youngest boy needed something for school, and he said, Mama, I need this next week for school. Then as a busy working mother, right, how will I have time to buy for him? But at that moment in my mind, I was talking to myself saying, not a problem because Mommy has Shopee. So I took out the phone, ordered the item that he needed, and I put down the phone with a great sense of achievement that I could address, attend to his requests, and manage the demands at work. So there are many benefits from the digital world in which we are living in. The digital world has made our life easier, better, faster, and that's why we find ourselves living in the digital world more and more. So maybe some of you might be thinking, I'm not really living in the digital world like the younger ones, so maybe this sermon is not so relevant for me. Perhaps before you reach that conclusion, I just want to encourage you, most of us have digital identity. If you have a digital identity, you must learn how to ground that identity in the digital age so that it may not negatively impact our identity in Christ. So what are some elements that form the digital identity? It would be your online presence. Let me see if this is working. I can't control the slide. Can someone help me? Wait for a while. There's problem also in the digital world, you know. Sometimes they don't work. They don't work so well with... I can't click. Yeah, thanks. Yes, so one element that forms a part of your digital identity is your online presence. Simple thing like maybe the profile picture on your WhatsApp, that is a type of online presence. Or maybe your postings on the Facebook or social media such as Instagram, that is also your online presence. Or maybe exchanging a lot of photos in the WhatsApp group, that's a type of online presence as well. You know, my aging parents, auntie, uncles, they love to exchange a lot of presents in the extended family chat group, exchanging photos of their grandchildren, their pets, their dog, their cat, the fruits from the garden. And that whole exchange of photos is also a type of online presence that forms our digital identity. The second element that forms a digital identity would be your digital footprints. Digital footprint is a trail of data that you leave behind as you visit the websites and do online transactions, such as your GrabFood, GrabPay, InSync, Pass app, or even the Trace Together app that we used to do in the COVID. That leaves behind a lot of digital footprint, and that forms your digital identity as well. Of course, your professional identity, which is your personal branding, your professional reputation on digital platforms such as LinkedIn, that forms your digital identity too. So looking at this list here and many other elements that I have not listed up here, we will conclude that actually most of us have a digital identity, and therefore we need to learn how to ground that identity in the Word of God in this digital age. So before we move on to dive into the scriptures, let us pray. Father, may you fill us with your Spirit to understand your word. Speak to us, and may we be both hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. To ground our identity in this digital age, we need to take note of three common behaviors in the digital world and align them slowly align them to the Word of God. Three common behaviors. Behavior number one, the whole sense of self-promotion, promoting your personal achievements. That's really common in the digital world. Behavior number two, comparing with someone's success. When someone posts something on the internet and you feel a sense of comparison or maybe inferiority complex, that's a form, a behavior that we want to slowly align to the Word of God as well. The third common behavior is preferring no waiting zone. I will explain more as we move on in the sermon for point three. Let's begin with first behavior. First common behavior that we need to be aware that self-promotion is a common behavior. And if we are not careful and we are not aware and we don't align it to the Word of God, it may negatively impact our identity in Christ. In the past, self-promotion was considered not common because morally, people felt that self-promotion was closely linked to narcissism, vanity, pride, arrogance. So people in the past didn't really like to promote themselves. But there was this quote from this book shown on the slide. It says this: some suggest that the internet itself has heightened narcissism, for it has offered unprecedented ways to scrutinize, glorify, and advertise the self, and to do so far more publicly than before. I found this statement true to a certain extent. It's normal to advertise yourself nowadays. You know, in the past, the ancient wisdom tells us to know thyself through reflection, but today, the world tells us to show thyself to the world, advertise yourself, glorify yourself. And therefore, it's normal, it's increasingly normal for us to advertise our achievements on LinkedIn, for example, to self-promote our achievements, our accomplishments, our projects, our network, our net worth, our possessions on LinkedIn, and it's a cultural norm now. So I'm not saying it's wrong. We just need to take note that, hey, this is normal nowadays, you know. And my oldest boy, he's doing accountancy in one of the polytechnics. In one portion of the module, they were teaching the students to self-promote, do personal branding through LinkedIn. And they were teaching them how to craft all of that on LinkedIn. Nothing wrong with that, but we do need to guide our younger ones. We do need to model for them how to not over-promote, not oversell, not exaggerate on LinkedIn. How to be truthful even on your social media platform. Before we can guide them and be role models for them, we need to firstly, as adults, not buy into a lie that the world is selling us. The world is selling us this false equation that Pastor Edmund Chan preached about last Sunday. The false equation is this: performance plus accomplishment equals to identity. This false equation could be a potential precursor to an identity crisis. Why do I say that? Because if your whole identity is all about your work and your performance, it may potentially lead to an identity crisis because you can't perform at that rate all the time. Isn't it? We just can't perform and achieve at that rate all the time. Sometimes we have health crises, sometimes our family crisis, and someone needs us, a friend needs us, our children need us, our parents, our aging parents need us. That's when you realize, hey, I can't contribute that much at that level. And sometimes we, maybe some of us is going through retrenchment or maybe retirement age. And you realize that, hey, my identity is not just about my work, not really about my work. But yet the digital world tells us, hey, promote yourself, tell people who you are, all about your achievements, your accomplishments. And this is a lie that we must be very careful not to subscribe to it, not to leave it out. We need to be very aware. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, may I ask you this question? Who are you without your work? Who are you without your accomplishments? Who exactly are you without performance? Do you have an answer to that question? Who are you without A's in your studies, without getting the first choice of your school? Who are you exactly? We want to remember that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are children of God, bought with the precious blood of Christ. And today, the whole entire worship set reminds us of the amazing things that Jesus has done. We are a child of God, and that is a foundational identity we must not forget. And we build all other identities on that foundational identity. On the foundational identity as a child of God, we build our identity as a student, our identity as a daughter, our identity as a husband, our identity as a worker. On that foundational identity, we build our digital identity. We build on it. We don't have two identities. If you don't build on it, you may end up having two personas. One, Sharon Fong in the digital world. One, Sharon Fong in the church life. You may end up having two personas. You may end up having identity crisis or even living double lives. We want to build on our foundational identity. And as a child of God, we don't just want to promote ourselves, isn't it? Because as children of God, the scriptures have taught us to promote someone else, our Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16 says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This verse, Jesus was teaching his disciples in God's kingdom, hey, shine brightly through your good works so that people can see your Father in heaven. Give glory to your Father in heaven through your good works. So today, I'm not asking you to delete your social media account, not at all. But I'm asking you to promote a different narrative. Promote a different narrative, more than just your personal achievements, more than just yourself. Subtly promote your good works that give glory to your Father in heaven. I know of a covenanter. He's very active in the LinkedIn space. He holds a very established position in a marketplace, and he has to be very active in LinkedIn. It's just like that. It's a cultural norm. But he tells me this, that his narrative, his posting in LinkedIn is very different from the rest. He doesn't promote himself. He doesn't promote about his strength. He promotes team unity. He promotes team humility. He promotes goodwill. He promotes the gracious project that they receive. He is subtly promoting kingdom values. If you read his posting, it's a very subtle message, subtly telling people the kingdom values through his posting, whether it's in LinkedIn or I've seen some other covenanters deliberately doing that in Facebook or even Instagram. So today I'm encouraging you, promote, but promote a different narrative because we are children of God. And on that foundational identity, we want to promote and give glory to our Father. So take note of that tendency to do self-promotion that the digital world is teaching us. Don't blindly subscribe to that behavior. Promote a different narrative by promoting your good works that give glory to your Father in heaven, and also promoting your weaknesses. Not just your strength, your weaknesses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Promote your weaknesses. I know it's difficult because weaknesses carry messages of shame and failure. It's a struggle to promote this kind of narrative that is different from what the world is promoting. So the person who might be able to understand our discomfort the most would be Apostle Paul. Because when he wrote this verse, he wrote it in the context of a Greco-Roman culture where it was a norm to boast their strength, their achievements. It was a norm to boast of their accomplishments. It was a cultural norm. So for him to write this verse was counter-cultural in that sense. Yet he was encouraging the Christians, boast all the more gladly of your weaknesses. Post and promote a different narrative, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I know of a covenanter. I'm sharing this story with her permission. Some time ago, recently, she realized that her hospitalization insurance plan got lapsed. She forgot to pay her premium. So in order to get it covered, she needed to go for health screening. So through that process of health screening, she realized that she has breast cancer. And very shortly after that, she needed to go for bilateral mastectomy, and that is to remove both breasts. And that whole surgery cost about $40,000 without an insurance plan. So the family was devastated, not only for health reasons, but also financial reasons as well. And we were praying with them, and lo and behold, the insurance company came back and out of goodwill decided to reinstate the plan and reimburse the $40,000. Even though she was not covered. It was like an answered prayer, a miracle. And I thought that was it. We rejoiced with the family, but she went on to do something else. She decided to post this entire story on the Facebook to give glory to God, to share her vulnerability, her weaknesses, her health crisis to her friends on Facebook, most importantly, to let them see the power of Christ in her life. And that Facebook posting stirred up quite a number of conversations with her non-Christian friends because they were really curious. Hey, your God can do such a thing, you know. So that became a moment, not just to boast of her weaknesses, but to give glory to God. Today, I'm not encouraging you after the service to share all your weaknesses on the social media, Facebook or Instagram. I'm not encouraging you to do that. But ask God for wisdom. Each time when you post something in the social media space, ask God, hey, how can you give me wisdom to craft it in a different way, not to promote myself, but to promote you, to subtly point people to Jesus, asking for wisdom. And not all things we can do that in the LinkedIn space, because sometimes it may have detrimental effect in the professional setting. So we can't share everything on the Facebook or LinkedIn, but remember, online presence also includes your WhatsApp. You have close group WhatsApp with your secondary school friends, you know, your old friends, your neighbors. Those are smaller groups that you can perhaps share something. Share something. Don't just boast of promotion or whatever. Share something in that space so that you can have more conversations with them after the sharing. Today, we need to be aware that to ground our identity in the digital age, we need to be aware of a common behavior of self-promotion. Beware of that, aware of that. And don't just promote yourself because we are children of God. We promote a different narrative, and that is pointing people to Jesus, giving glory to God, and helping others to see the power of Christ in our lives. The second behavior that we need to take note is this behavior of comparing with others when they post something on the internet, especially concerning their success, maybe their promotion, or having an ability to be posted overseas to work. We want to be able to take note of that behavior of comparison and align them to the Word of God. That's how we can ground our digital identity. You know, from this Harvard Business Review quote that I've pasted on the slide, it says that in one study, 75% of people reported that they had recently assessed their self-worth by comparing themselves with others. So it's true that our identity and self-worth is often in relation with others, in comparison with others. I feel I'm better when I feel that, when I look at your life. Sometimes it's just like that. We are made in a community. But today, I'm not asking you to delete your social media, exit from all this so that you don't see people's success. I'm not asking you to do that. Because just by deleting your social media accounts, it's not going to end your days of evaluating and comparing with others. It's not going to end. However, today, I want to encourage all of you to see beyond that posting, see beyond that person's success, look beyond the surface, and see more. Explore beyond the surface and see behind the scenes so that you may not experience identity crisis when you witness someone's success in the digital world. Why is it important to see behind the scenes, behind the curtain of life? Because they are more than just the person's success. Take a look at this graph that I've taken from this particular book in chapter 3 on comparison. The blue dot represents the person's success that the person posted on maybe LinkedIn, in Instagram or Facebook. That's the blue dot. But usually we look at the blue dot, then we feel a bit sad, you know, identity crisis, when you feel that, hey, how come I don't have the good life that the person has posted? But I want to encourage you to see beyond that blue dot, to look at the orange circle. The orange circle is the totality of your friend's life. Above the horizontal line is the really good things that your friend is experiencing. Below the horizontal lines are the really hard things. That's the whole totality of the friend's life. If you really understand the hard things that your friend has gone through, the sleepless nights, the OT that the person had to do, the nasty supervisor, the unkind colleagues, the office politics, and yet the person endured, your friend endured, and finally got promoted. When you understand the really hard things, you may end up rejoicing with your friend and say, hey, I am really so happy for you that you got promoted. I'm really so happy for you. Try to do that. See beyond the surface and see sometimes when the person posts a good thing, That good thing doesn't represent the entire life, you know. There are really hard things. And sometimes the really hard things, God gives our friend a good success to encourage our friend. And we need that. We cannot have all hard things in our lives. And God gives us goodness like this, right? And then we feel happy. Then we post it on social media. Hopefully, our friends will rejoice with us as well. Learn to see the totality of a person's life. But if you have tried that and you still feel sad, not because you're jealous, not because you're petty, because somehow when you see a person's success, you can't help but to ask these unanswered questions. God, where are you? God, have you forsaken me? God, have you bypassed me? Where are you when I worked so hard for my studies, so hard for my work? Where are you? So sometimes it's not because we are petty. When we see someone's success, we can't rejoice. But because our friend's success or promotion or achievements stir up these questions in our lives, and we don't have an answer. And to my brothers and sisters who are struggling with this, I want to encourage you with this verse from Isaiah 45, verse 15. It says this, clearly you are a God who works behind the scenes. God of Israel, Savior God. When the author wrote this verse in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 45, he was encouraging God's people, hey, God is working behind the scenes. God will one day restore Jerusalem. God will one day restore the temple. Don't look at the appearances and thinking that God will not do something. God is sovereignly doing something in the days of Isaiah. And likewise, God is using this verse to speak to some of us today. God is working in your life. Just because you don't experience success yet, it doesn't mean He's not working. He's doing something behind the curtains of your life. Behold, trust in Him and continue to believe that He has not left you, He will not forsake you. The second behavior that we need to be aware and is this behavior of comparison. Align them to the Word of God. And when you see someone's success, learn to rejoice. And when you feel that God has forgotten you, remember Isaiah 45 verse 15. He's working behind the scenes. He's working behind the scenes. The third behavior that we need to be aware and align the behavior to the Word of God to ground our identity is this preference of no waiting zone. You know, in the digital world, it has really taught us not to wait. It's just like that. It's a behavior that's cultivated maybe due to the digital world. Let me explain a little bit more. You know, when some of us have a certain brand of an aircon, and then when you feel that it's very hot weather out there, and then you know that, hey, actually I can turn on to the app, switch on the aircon, lower down the temperature, then by the time I reach home, taken a bath, the room will be ready for me because, you know, technically I did it over the app. That was a particular brand in the aircon. For those of us who want food to be delivered to our home, we just go to Grab app and then order the food, set the particular time to be delivered, and then it just comes into the assigned timing that we have set. Or maybe those of us who have Netflix, you know, when we watch certain shows and then the lines are going too slowly, what do? We fast forward. Fast forward, fast forward, fast forward, and maybe 1.25, 1.5, 1.2. Most of us do that, right? And then we just sometimes don't know that it has impacted our lives, you know? We keep fast forwarding until sometimes when my husband is speaking a bit too slowly, I feel like fast forward, you know? Like, it has not only in the digital world has taught us how not to wait, and sometimes we do that relationally, and it impacts a lot of our lives. And I know of a covenanter, oh my goodness, she actually watches 2K drama at the same time. I'm like, how do you do that? She said, oh, it's very easy, just watch one on the iPad and watch one on the TV. And I asked, why do you want to do that? And I said, well, because sometimes the plot goes too slowly, so that while this is very slow and I cannot fast forward anymore, I can just watch another show on the TV. I'm like, wow, we almost have zero tolerance for waiting. This is how the digital world has taught us. But we really need to understand it has sometimes detrimental effect in our identity in Christ. We have to be aware. Really. Why do I say that? Because God often forms and deepens our identity through a long period of waiting. Right? Some of us are nodding our head. He makes us wait. Wait upon Him. Wait upon Him. Don't light the path yourself. Wait upon Him. Because as children of God, we are not just to do our own will. We want to do the will of our Father. And when God says wait, we wait. And that is most difficult as a child of God. You know, someone who waited many, many, many years was King David. When Prophet Samuel anointed him and said that you will be the next king, do you remember he waited for how many years? He didn't become the king the next day. He waited for 15 years. 15 years in the wilderness, 15 years of waiting. It was 15 years being chased by crazy King Saul as well. And when you look back at the Psalms that he has written, very often they have a theme of waiting. And I love this particular verse from Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And some scholars pointed out that this passage could be written when King Saul was furiously chasing after him. And it was important for King David to go through that 15 years of waiting for his identity to be formed, to be deepened. And that's what God does to us as well. Our identity in Christ is not formed overnight like that. It is not. It's not like you pray to receive Christ today and then tomorrow your identity in Him is like deepened. It takes a period of waiting and waiting and waiting. And I just sense in my heart today that God wants some of you to wait. Really wait upon Him. Don't light your own path. Wait upon Him. I preached this same sermon last Friday to some young adults from Woodlands Center, so because I know that they won't be here. So I preached this sermon and I asked them, which three of the 3 points, which one spoke to you the most? And then many of them said, point three, Pastor Sharon. I said, can you tell me more? So this is what one of them said. You know, Pastor Sharon, when we were young, we progressed from primary one to primary two to primary three, secondary one to secondary two. The progression in the MOE system is just really smooth. But until some point in our life, we have to apply for poly or uni course, and then we have to wait. Apply for internship, and then we have to wait for the results. And we make more choices in life, and then we have to wait. And then when we get our choice, not our choice one or two, but get choice three and four, we try to alter the path, and then we have to wait again. And this person said, quite a number of them said, Pastor Sharon, we just don't have the patience to wait for God to work behind the scenes and to unfold His plans. We prefer to take control of our own life. And number three is most difficult. And I can almost understand that because our younger ones grew up in the digital world. Not like some of us, at least we didn't grow up in that setting. So point three was a struggle for them. And yet point three is not something that is only struggled by the younger ones. All of us, from all generations, we really prefer to have the no waiting zone. We prefer to fast forward everything. Just tell me what's the end of my life, God. Like, just tell me. And this is most difficult. I want to encourage you. If you do this well, your identity in Christ will really be deepened. Deepened like never before. As I come to a conclusion of the sermon, I just want to encourage us, take note of the three behaviors. Don't just promote yourself, because you are children of God. Promote God. Don't just promote all the good things that you've done. Promote all the good things that He has done. Number two, don't just compare someone's success and feel sorry for yourself. Look behind the scenes of the person's life. And most importantly, look behind the scenes and believe that God is still working behind the curtain of your life. Number three, cultivate the ability to wait. Don't join the cultural norm of just having a fast-paced life. That's what the digital world is selling us. But don't follow blindly. There are some things that we can do. I'm not going to prescribe the solutions, but I believe God will speak to you if you come to Him and say, God, I want to align this behavior. Can you teach me? Can you guide me? At this moment, I want to give all of you 1 minute to reflect as I invite the worship team up. I'm not going to give any more altar call. I want to give you 1 minute to reflect and to ask God, which is one behavior you are nudging in my heart right now? And transact that with God. And in your prayer time, ask God, God, can you help me to align this so that I don't follow the world blindly? Give me creativity. Teach me to be different, to be a certain kind, even in this day and age. Let's reflect in silence.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.